Has everybody thawed out yet? It's a little cold, and then it's gonna warm right back up, so. Today my title is Olive Oil. The other day I was watching Stackerback show, and he was in Israel. He was showing how, they made olive oil, thousands of years ago, where they turned the stone around and it crushed the olives. And then they would take the olives and put them underneath the press and press the olives to get out the olive oil. And we know that's what Jesus went through, and that's what we got to go through in our lives. So you can try to be this. I'm going to start with Psalm chapter 23. Was basically the most famous psalm there is. I'm going to read everything out of the King James Version. So Psalm 23, starting at verse 1, says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So we know that Samuel anointed David to be king over Israel. But when he anointed him, he was still just young, and he hadn't gone through what he was going to have to go through. And it was almost like, this God anointed him. It was a special anointing calling on his life. But he had to go through pressing and crushing of his, being chased for his life by Saul and all the other things. Basically, his family didn't like him. He went through a lot of things before he actually became king of Israel. And even when he became king, he went through a lot of things. Sometimes it was his own mistakes and sins, but a lot of times it was just, the pressures and crushings that happened. Yet it produced a guy that was, that God says a friend, I forget, what does he say? After his own heart. Anyways, so yeah, a man after his own heart. So we know that that was a representation of also what Jesus would have to go through. You can write this verse down. This is Exodus chapter 27, verse 20. Exodus chapter 27, verse 20 says, this was like God giving Moses how to do the temple. And it says, "And thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring thee pure oil, olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamp to burn always." So there was pure olive oil that they had to bring to the temple, because at the temple they had the lamps that was to burn 24/7, 365 days a year. It was to never go out. And that was also a representation of what Jesus was going to go through. And we know that because of that, forever and always, Jesus is a light that never goes out. Now you can go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. A lot of the trials, that's what we go through, is we go through things because God wants to get that oil out of us, that pure oil. And it's not just for us, but we go through things not for our own sakes, but for other people. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting at verse 1. "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So here we go, starting at verse 8, it says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, and that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So this is telling us that, you know, and we know this, I mean, we've all been through stuff, and you may be going through something challenging today, but we know that we go through this stuff to basically purify us and draw us closer to God. And then what it does is it reveals Jesus Christ. You know, it gets out all the impurities and everything, and then it reveals Jesus Christ in us. And for one, again, it's for us, but it's for other people. So verse 12 says, So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So even though, you know, sometimes you go through things like a sickness that lasts maybe a day or two and you're over it, sometimes it takes a lot longer. But the thing of it is when you're going through those or any other trial that, you know, some trials last a little bit, some last days, weeks, months, maybe even years. But it, like I say, it produces, it's a crushing and a pressing that produces the oil that lasts eternal. So verse 17 says, for all light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So, it's amazing because Jesus had to go through crushing and pressing himself to bring about, you know, the forgiveness of sins, the sacrifice for us. And then at the same time, we go through crushings in our lives because it does the same thing. It brings out this pure oil, the oil of God in us. And it's eternal. You know, the trials that we go through, they're temporary, even if they last a long time. You know, even if somebody who's, say, you know, you could say somebody who was born with a handicap, like they're blind or deaf or lame or something, even if they live their whole life like that, it's temporary compared to eternity. And if you notice, people who are Christians, that like Miss Denise, you know, I know she's not here today, she don't like to code, but people who are Christians who have handicaps like that, you'll notice that they don't live by the handicap. If they're Christians, they live by God and Jesus, and it's amazing the joy they can bring. And what that does is that points to Jesus Christ, you know, just like any of us that go through things. Again, the crushing and the suppressing that we go through is to produce that pure oil in us to, you know, again, it's not only for us, but it's basically to burn the light of Jesus Christ to show other people that, hey, this person's going through something, yet they have this joy about them still, you know. So I just encourage you today that whatever trial you may be going through, and I know you can look in the past and just see how God brought you through, but that any trial that you're going through today, it's temporal, you know, to produce eternal things. So, and that is it.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. That was really good. I think that's something that we don't always want to think about. You know, we don't always want to think about the trials that we're going to face, and when we're in the middle of a trial, we think we're never going to get out of it. You know, we just kind of like get stuck in there. But keeping in mind that everything is temporary, but eternity with God is forever. God is gonna wipe away every tear from our eyes. That's something we have to rest our faith in. Amen. All right, so a couple weeks ago, I talked about hope that does not disappoint, and I'm gonna continue on the other part that I didn't share. Please bear with me. I'm still kind of getting my voice back. So if I lose it at some point, God will just take care of it, okay? So just bear with me. All right, so I want you to turn to Romans chapter 4. God is so good. I was suffering quite a bit last week, and have not been able to sing at in any worship song that I've he been hearing, but today I could sing and worship, and that was such a blessing. So I praise God for that. So Romans chapter 4, I'm going to start at verse 18 and then continue to chapter 5. Even when there was no reason for hope, and I'm reading this out of the New Living Translation, Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations, for God had said to him, "That's how many descendants you will have." And Abraham's faith did not weaken, even though at about 100 years of age, he figured his body was as good as dead, and so was Sarah's womb. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger, and in this, he brought glory to God. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. And because of Abraham's faith, God counted him as righteous. And when God counted him as righteous, it wasn't just for Abraham's benefit. It was recorded for our benefit too, assuring us that God will also count us as righteous if we believe in him, the one who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was handed over to die because of our sins, and he was raised to life to make us right with God. In chapter 5, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. And so I want to point out how this hope gets created in us. So first of all, when we believe in Jesus, it doesn't mean we won't go through things, okay? But verse 3, it says we are to rejoice because even though we go through different problems and trials, even though we go through tribulations and pains and sorrows, it's okay. Because all of these things that we go through in our life, they help us develop endurance. And endurance is the kind of thing that you need to run a race. You don't need just like, you know, how some people really like energy drinks. Like when I was younger, I really liked a certain kind of energy drink. I can't remember the name, what it was. And it would give me like a burst of energy for a little bit, and then it would just like drop me. And I was like, I don't like that. So after a few of those, I realized I don't think I ever want to drink these again because it's not really lasting and it's not really helping me. Because that's just a temporary, just a kind of a fake endurance. It's like, it's just not good enough. What we need is the kind of endurance that helps us to keep going when the times are good and when the times are not good. When the times are causing us to question our faith, those are the times that we need to rest and be assured in our faith in Jesus Christ. Like, for example, I was sick last week, and man, I had to really endure pain for a long time and not being able to sleep at night. And it was really rough. But it was temporary. God brought me through it. You know, I was still suffering, but God still was my healer. I didn't give up on Jesus and say, well, Jesus isn't going to heal me this time. He healed me all the other times, but he's not going to heal me this time. No, I stood on the faith that he already planted in me, right? Okay. And then the second part, endurance develops strength of character. And character is really important because what this does, character shows your maturity. Okay, so you have endurance, and you can do things, you can believe in God for things, you can trust in him, you can read his word, and no matter what trials you go through, you understand that God is going to deliver you. Character is the kind of thing you need that not only you understand what you are going through, that God is going to deliver you, but other people see your maturity. Other people around you see, okay, you're going through that, but God is delivering you. So character is your example to others around you that God is faithful, okay? And we need that spiritual maturity in our lives. It's one thing to have faith on the inside of us. It's another thing to live faith everywhere we walk, every conversation we have, every person we talk to. Amen. It's a whole nother thing. And the amazing thing about all of that is that it brings hope into our lives. And hope, it not only comes through character, but then it goes on to say, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. So when God puts his love in our lives in any way, shape, or form, God's love may be shown to Aunt Jessie differently from the way it's shown to Jimmy. God's love may be shown to Frank differently from the way it is to Michael. God's love is unique to each individual. Things that God knows that you need to hear, that you need to see, that you need to experience, that you need to know, God touches your heart individually. And when his love is inside of your heart, when you get touched by his love, it actually creates hope for the future. And that's when Jeremiah 29:11 becomes so alive to each one of us. When we experience God's love, boy, that hope just like we know we're going to go to heaven. We know what God is going to do in us. Amen. The other awesome thing that creates hope in our lives is God's word. So it says in Romans 10:17 that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Remember a couple weeks ago, I talked about how the definition of hope is also in many ways faith. So they're so closely tied together that it's incredible how awesome they are. Like, you can't have one without the other, right? So faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So when God speaks to your heart, and it's amazing because when he speaks to your heart, he is also showing you his love. So it's like his love in his word is building your faith and your hope. So you need that. You need God's word in your life. You need to hear his voice. Whether you hear his voice here at church, whether you're having a conversation with another person, or the best way is hearing the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, because that is personal. That is directly to you. And what's awesome about that is the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart. And he'll speak to your heart, And then you'll go around and you'll talk to other people and they'll say the same thing that God has spoken to your heart, because we all have the same Holy Spirit on the inside of us. And we need that encouragement. And what does that do? It builds our faith. It builds our hope in the Lord. Amen. Our faith and hope strengthen us during hard and difficult times, because we know an incredible eternity in heaven awaits us. We know that our questions will be answered. We know it by faith. We have a hope of eternal glory. And so what's kind of awesome is, you know, the way that hope works is when you need it, you have to receive it and it's there, but you receive it through love. You receive it through the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you receive it, it gives you faith for the next thing. So it's just constantly building you and giving you strength and giving you endurance and producing that character. And then once you go through another thing, it's like that hope is built, and then it readies you for the next thing. It's kind of like the way that God created Earth is so incredible. Like, you know, we have water on Earth, and the way that water is produced and the way that it basically recycles itself all the time, the way that it goes throughout the whole Earth is just the same process over and over and over again. It goes in the ocean and it's purified because of the salts and everything. It goes into the air and the sun takes out things. And then it comes down into the Earth, and the Earth, all of the stuff in the Earth, the soils and the minerals purify the water. And then we get water and we drink it, and then we waste it and it goes back into the ocean. You know, so it's like over and over again, God has created us a blessing with water, and it's constantly being used, even though it's in different forms, right? Well, it's the same way with hope. When you receive hope and faith in different times of your life, it may seem like this part of your life, you needed just this amount of hope. And you needed this kind of hope for that. Like when you're a child, you think differently than when you're a teenager. When you're a teenager, you think differently than when you're a young man, young woman. When you become an older man and an older woman, when you have children and you're raising children and grandchildren, the hope that you had when you were younger was, and the faith that you had was different. And had a different level of endurance and a different level of strength and a different character. But as you get older, you see the things that you've been through. And another thing that's like, you know, we know the things of the Bible. We know the stories of the Bible and what God's done for people in the past. But sometimes, even if we know all of those stories, we still have to go through things in our own lives to really understand the hope and the love of God. And God knows exactly what each one of us can endure. He never gives us more than we can't take on. And it says in His Word, He won't give us a temptation above what we are able to stand. He gives us the right amount of strength that we need in each of our lives. Do we fall? Yes. Do we mess up sometimes? Yes. Do we think wrong thoughts? Probably a lot more than we want to. But God always makes a way for us. That's why He's provided His Word. That's why He shows us His love in all areas of His life. God will chase us down our entire lives because He loves us so much. When we are little babies, as soon as we are born, He can't wait for us to get to know Him. He pursues us. And it's just like, you know, when you love somebody, you pursue them because you love them. You know, like even like when Michael and I were first dating and everything, I pursued him and then he pursued me. And it was like back and forth, you know. And then we weren't together for a while, but he still pursued me. But he didn't pursue me in a way that was like, okay, you have to be with me. No, he stepped back and waited for me to come to him. And that is the way that our God works in our hearts. That sometimes we're away from God and we fall into the things of this world, and we start to love the things of this world more than the things of God. But God does not stop pursuing us, but at the same time, He helps us to understand that He still loves us. So He'll put little things in our lives. Like when we weren't together, Michael and I became the best of friends, because instead of a relationship like a boyfriend-girlfriend relationship, it became just a special relationship of friends that I needed that. And because he was there as my friend, then he became there as my future husband. You know, so God is just like that. He will not stop pursuing you. He will keep showing you his love, because he wants to birth that hope in you that you're going to be with him someday. Amen. All right. Let's see. Titus 1:15. You can just write this down. It says, unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. And this is extremely important. Those who believe that God has failed them do whatever they can to spread doubt and unbelief in God's people, because, like we all know, misery loves company. We know that when people are upset about something, you know, like on the internet, if there is something that someone doesn't like, they post it and they want everybody in the world to hear. And if they're mad about something, and then the next day they're like, oh, that wasn't a big deal. It's like, oh, okay. You know, it's like just constant streaming of temporary feelings. They get mad and they post it. They're in love over their head over heels for somebody, and they post it. And then the next day they're broken up. It's like, all right, let's keep the posting to a minimum, people, because there a lot of people's thoughts are impure, you know. And if you're not following the Lord, you're only going to be happy with these temporary things. You're only going to be happy with, okay, this makes me happy for today, so I want this. And then tomorrow, it doesn't make you happy. So, no, you don't want it anymore. But that's not how God meant for relationships to be. That's not how God meant us to live in this world. If our thinking is not pure, if our thinking is based on our own desires and not based on heavenly thinking and what God wants for our lives, then at some point, our mind and our conscience just becomes enveloped in that. Even if you're a Christian and you let yourself get drawn to the world, you can get into this impure thinking. Amen. And we don't want that, right? Those who believe that God has failed them will always spread doubt and unbelief. They will always spread doubt and unbelief. Even if you think that person is nice and good and they're really good. We love, you know, like sometimes you have people in your family. If they believe that God has failed them, they will still spread doubt and unbelief. So each of us, we have to protect our hearts. We have to understand that God never fails. That even if other people around us, even people we love, even if they feel like God has failed them, we have to keep our hope in Christ. Amen. In these end days, it is going to be worse and worse, and it is going to show up more and more. Amen. When doubt is sowed in a Christian's heart, the only way to root it out is to destroy the seed that caused the doubt. One of the worst seeds is not believing who God is and not believing you are who he says you are. The devil is very sneaky, and he will use people in your life that you trust to almost make you to believe you are not who God says you are by little innuendos, little things here and there. If you do not know the word of God, you'll receive those seeds in your life, and they will produce fruit that you do not want. Amen. Abraham had a word from the Lord, and his faith gave him the hope that he needed for the future. Before God promised him to be a father of many nations, Abraham had to first obey God's word to him to leave his father's household and go to the land that God would show him. Abraham had to make effort to step out in faith. He left the security of family and walked straight into the unknown. Mile after mile, his faith never wavered. His faith was so strong that it was counted to him as righteousness. And I love how Paul says in Romans that his faith actually grew stronger the more that he walked with the Lord. That is endurance. That's the character that we need as God's people. Amen. So how is Abraham's example important for us? Jesus died so that we could be the righteousness of God in him. Amen. If we do not show that same kind of endurance, that same kind of strength of character, and keep following the Lord each and every day of our lives, no matter what is going on, then we'll give up. But if we choose each and every day to follow the Lord, even in the midst of trials, even in the midst of persecution, like Michael was saying, the pressing and the crushing, nobody likes those things. You know, nobody likes those things. But God, he takes care of us, right? I read this article one time of this pastor that was on an airplane. And there were two water bottles in the airplane. Like, I think it was the person next to him had a full water bottle, and he drank all his water, so sitting there empty. And as the plane got higher and higher, the water bottles started changing. They expand. And then as it went down, all of that pressure started happening. So his empty water bottle got completely crushed from the pressure. But the person beside him that had water in their water bottle, their bottle was fine. It never got crushed. And so it made him think about, we need the Holy Spirit more than ever when we're going through crushings, when we're going through the pressures of this life. Because if we have the Holy Spirit in us, we will be filled and we will not cave under pressure. But when the Holy Spirit is in us, it doesn't matter what pressures we're faced against, what things come against us, the Holy Spirit will keep us intact. Amen? We need him in every part of our lives. Without that same confidence, hope will seem far away. And that is exactly what the devil wants for your life. Impure thoughts are a tool of Satan to destroy your faith. Taking every thought captive is your weapon against the enemy. Knowing who you are in Christ is the strength to use that weapon. Amen? You have to not only have a weapon, but you have to know how to use it. You may not feel righteous. You may feel like everything is going wrong in your life. But let me encourage you, God has not given up on you. He still loves you, and his power has not stopped working just because the attacks have started. The incredible plans that God has for your life are achievable by his grace and your faith. Believe in the finished work of the cross and believe you are made righteous because of the faith, your faith in Jesus's sacrifice. Amen. It is through that faith, hope that does not disappoint will become real to you. If you want hope to be built in your life, if you are going through times where you are feeling hopeless, says in Proverbs, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a dream fulfilled, it is the desire of life. It is the fulfilled desires of our hearts. Amen. We need to take a hold of that hope, the hope that does not disappoint. We often say how important it is for all people to have an encounter with the Lord Jesus because it needs to be personal for everyone. No one can force anyone to fall in love. Amen. But the Spirit of the Lord will continue to pursue you even if you don't want to be pursued. He wants you with Him. God knows when our faith is weak, and He knows when it needs to be strengthened. Isaiah 40:31 says, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." You know, when an eagles and a lot of animals, you know, sometimes they go days without food. They eat a meal and it's like, and it lasts them for a few days, some of the bigger predators. And then you have these little bitty, you know, like it says in God's word that He cares about the sparrows. Birds eat all day long. These little tiny birds, they fly around and they are eating all day long. Like, the amount of food that they eat is just incredible, because they need that constant stream of energy going through them. But then you have these bigger predators that get one meal and it lasts them for a certain amount of time. Whether you are a sparrow or you are an eagle, God knows the exact strength that you need. He knows that sometimes you are at a time in your life where you need constant feeding. You need the constant word of God going in your life just 24/7. You can't go from one thing to the next without the word of God into your life because there's so much that you are going through. And then there's times where you will get a big revelation of the Lord. And it's so awesome that it carries you for a little while. But God knows what you need. Just like I said earlier, what is for one person may not be the same for another person. You have to seek the Lord. Amen. Don't put it on someone else like they need to do exactly what you're doing. Because God knows what that person needs. Maybe God wants that person to learn how to worship Him. Maybe God wants that person to learn how to read His word. Maybe God wants that person to learn to know how to study His word or how to hear from the Holy Spirit. If we put a law on every single thing that we do on people, then we can actually destroy their growth and we can destroy that hope in their lives. And we do not want to do it. We do not want to do that. You know, it says in God's word, In the Old Testament, thou shalt not steal. And I was listening to our administrator. She does chapel on Fridays. And she was preaching on joy. And she said something I thought was so awesome. She said, you know how the devil, we hear this saying often, how the devil steals our joy and he robs our joy. And she said, I want you to think about, you can steal others' joy as well. So you need to be careful yourself. And it just hit me that, you know, sometimes we look at the Old Testament that it says, thou shalt not steal. And we think of these physical things. We think, oh, I'm not a thief. I don't steal people's stuff out of their yards. It's just weird. I don't take people's cars or, you know, I'm not a Grand Theft Auto person. And yet, sometimes we steal things from other people that are more important than that car they're driving or that house they live in. We steal their joy and their peace. We steal things out of their heart. They get a revelation from the Lord and we steal that out of their life because we don't make them feel important. We make them think, oh, I already got that revelation. I already got that. That's a long time ago. Where have you been? You know, so we can actually steal those kind of things from people's hearts. We can steal that confidence and that hope when we are so focused on ourselves. That's how, you know, like it's really important to not just look at the Bible like it's just thousands of years ago. And it's just a temporary, it was just for them, for the Israelites. No, these things, all of the words of the Lord are for us now. All of His word helps each one of us grow. They help us mature. They strengthen our character. Amen. And in turn, when the word strengthens us, when we go through trials, we're strengthened by those too. Amen. We have to trust in him. And I'm going to close out with some verses about hope. There's a verse in, I think I read it last week in Colossians, that says basically that Jesus is our hope. You know, the awesome thing about that is it says in the Bible that God is love. And we know that Jesus is God. If Jesus is love, then we receive Jesus in our hearts. We're receiving his love, and instantly that hope is created. Amen. So Psalm 119, 49 through 50 says, "Remember your word to your servant, on which you have caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word revives me." And this is the English Standard Version. Psalm 119, 74 says, "Those who fear you will be glad to see me, because I have hoped in your word." And verse 81 of 119 says, "My soul longs for your deliverance, but I hope in your word." And 119, 114 says, "You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word." Psalm 130, verse 5 says, "I wait for the Lord. With bated breath, I wait. I long for his word." And Psalm 119, 89 says, "Forever, O Lord, your word is established in heaven." Isn't that awesome?
Yes.
Forever. So it doesn't matter what's going on in this world. We know that God's word is established in heaven first. So when somebody tries to take away the confidence of your hope, just know that you just have to look to heaven. Look to Jesus Christ, and there his word is established. Amen. Acts 26:6. This is where Paul was talking about. He says, "Now I stand on trial for hope in the promise made by God to our fathers." Paul went through his whole life standing for the hope that God had, even when it meant his death. Amen. So whether you are going through good things or whether you're at the end of days, you have to keep that hope inside of you. Amen. There will come a day when you are tested. You are tested whether you truly believe or not. Amen. I want to close with 1 Corinthians 13:13. "So now abide faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Without love, hope, and faith, not only would they not work, but they would not exist." God wants to create in you something amazing. He wants each one of you has such a unique and special calling that is unique to you, that no one else can fulfill. No one else can have on them and on the inside of them what God wants to do in you. There are words that you will speak to people that will impact them for the rest of their lives. There are places that you need to be that only you can be, that no one else can be there. Your children have to hear from you your love for the Lord. The generations that are coming after you, they depend on your relationship with the Lord. Don't let that be a cutoff to the next generation, but let it be a stream, an anointing that flows from you into that next generation. I love when we go back into our ancestry and we find out those who were before us. And it's so awesome that, you know, in our lives, you know, sometimes we feel like, well, I didn't come from a Christian family. And then you find out that maybe you didn't, but your great-great-grandpa was a pastor or a minister or a missionary. And that person prayed for the generations to come. So don't give up. Amen. Keep strong, not only for you, but for the generations to come. All right, you can go ahead and stand and we'll pray. I want to encourage you, the only way for that hope to be birthed in your heart is for you to feel God's love. If you feel like you have never felt God's love for you, then we're going to pray today that God will show you exactly what you need to see, that he will give you the word, the exact word that you need to hear, so that you will know that God loves you and it'll birth that hope in you that's forever. Amen. So, Father, in Jesus' name, each and every person that is here today and those who will be listening online later on, Lord Jesus, we just pray that you would give them a supernatural revelation of your love, that you would demonstrate that not only physically, but spiritually, mentally, emotionally, in every aspect of their life, that you would show them in their homes, in their workplaces, in their walks, their daily lives, Lord, how much you love and care about them, God. We thank you. And in the mighty name of Jesus, Satan, we command you to back off where you have stolen revelations, where you have blinded people. In the mighty name of Jesus, we command you to take that blindness off of people's eyes. In Jesus' name, Lord God, we submit to you, Father God, today. We resist you, Satan, in the mighty name of Jesus. You have to flee. Lord God, we thank you for the confidence and the assurance that we have in our salvation, in our faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus, you saved us and you set us free. We will go forth in dependence on you every hour, every minute, every second, every moment, Holy Spirit. We depend on you. In Jesus' mighty name, Lord, we praise you. Let our time of fellowship next door, Lord, bring you glory and honor. Lord, we thank you that we are able to minister to each other effectively, that we are able to show love to each other just like you show love to us. We praise you and we worship you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. You are dismissed.